Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Make Onions Cry. I'm Kat, and today I'm joined by a very special guest. We're missing Angie, so instead I have my girlfriend Abby filling in.
Hi! I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you. I think it's going to be a fun time, and we have a very fun topic to talk about today. I didn't really know what to call it. I would say maybe living environments, where we just kind of discuss different places people live, as in rural, urban, suburban, all of that, but also different countries, because I lived in Poland for a couple of years of my life, when you calculate the time together.
Basic icebreaker stuff.
Yeah, basic icebreaker stuff. So I have that perspective of a different country. And then me and Abby have also lived in different states. I've lived in New York for most of my life, whereas you did not.
No, I did not, certainly. I lived in D.C., Maryland, Delaware, and now I live in Jersey. So I've got, you know, most of the Eastern Seaboard under my belt. I feel like a professional at this point.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, let's get into it.
So I'll give a quick background as to where I've lived and what kind of places I can kind of talk about. So like I mentioned, I lived in Poland, and I grew up, I would say it's more like small town Poland, but there was a town next to us where my uncle and my cousins lived, and I would consider that like very rural farmland Poland. Like they had cows, they had chickens, all of this, and at one point we did too, but it kind of phased out and became more suburbs.
This is like when you had milk directly from the cow.
Yes.
Okay, like that kind of
work. Yes.
Okay.
Like we physically had cows. Like I got chased by a goose when I was 2 or 3.
Can't say that's ever happened
to me. We had like 50 rabbits at one point.
50?
Yeah, no, rabbits are crazy. They make babies like crazy.
I mean, there is a phrase for that.
Yeah, exactly.
There is a term.
There's a reason that that term exists. But yeah, so we just had a bunch of animals, bunch of farm animals. And then same thing with my other grandparents. When I would visit them, they also lived in a very small village type thing. Also very rural. Like they had a huge farm complex as one of their neighbors. So it's a very unique perspective. Because like when the place I grew up in, I'm going to give these places names, they're in Polish. So for my non-Polish listeners, bear with me. So this town that I, like, my home is in is called Górno. That's where I spent most of my childhood. That's where my family built their home. And then the town, the village my grandparents lived in was Jelna. And then the one that my uncle was in was Markowizna. So it's those three. I'm going to be talking about them. And then there's also one more that I'll touch base down the line. And then I moved to New York City after that, specifically Brooklyn. So big change from farmland, rural Poland.
Just talk about culture shock.
Yeah.
No. 5-year-old cat, never been in America before, never spoken English. Have fun. Enjoy. Yeah.
No, that really happened. And it was culture shock every time I came back from Poland because I would just get used to the slow lifestyle, the very calm, peaceful lifestyle. And then I would just get thrown into Brooklyn again from the get-go. And it was such a huge culture. I remember once I came in, I stepped out of the car, I started coughing because of the fumes of New York City.
The ambiance.
So, yeah, it was just a lot. But yeah, so that's kind of my background. And now I live in Jersey City. I moved to Jersey City, 2 months ago? So I don't have that much experience in it.
I'm an expert, don't worry.
Yeah, but we have Abby here, who's lived here far longer than I have. So give me your background, Abby.
So I grew up in a suburb of D.C. called Potomac. In Maryland, I grew up with, you know, it's a big enough city where like you have everything you need, but it's not like hustle bustle all the time like New York is. And like, there's not a lot of corporate offices and whatnot. It's more like families and residential area. And then when I went to college, I moved to like classic college town America. So I lived in a college town for 4 years. And so I grew up there and, you know, I really formulated who I am as a person in Newark, Delaware. And then after college, I moved up to Jersey City. So I've been working in New York for the last few years. So I've got now I feel like a pretty wealthy experience in the major metropolitan area that is New York City. But my heart will always be in the suburbs.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, I've never experienced the suburbs in the United States. I have as like I've driven through them and I've passed by them. I've gone fishing in areas. But like for me, it's just such a weird thing.
I am strongly pro-suburb.
Yeah. So
very much pro suburb.
It's something I very much want to experience just because I'm so over city life. It's one of those things where it's really cool in your early 20s, but it's as you get older and, like, even though I'm still in my early 20s, I'm only 24, but I've been here for 18 years.
Yeah.
So it kind of, even though I'm in my early 20s, it's been drained out of me because I was also here in my early years and teens and, you know, all of that.
I mean, we'll talk about, like, the drain that living in a city place is on you when we get there. But, like, if you want to start with, like, the more rural kind of, like, what was it like? I don't have any experience here. What was it like living with nobody around you?
So, for perspective, it's not that nobody's around you per se. It's that everyone just has larger amounts of land.
But you had more cow friends than people friends.
Okay, fair. Yeah, so the area I was in, it was a very up and coming town. It had a lot of farmland and it had a lot of meats and cows and what's that thing?
Meats?
No, it's like a word, not husbandry.
Midwifery?
No, not midwifery. No. It's like when you domesticate animals. What's that called?
Livestock tending?
Yes, livestock. It had a lot of livestock. That's where I was getting at. And they actually opened up this big butcher meat shop there. And that became became really popular in all of Poland. It really, like, it went viral in Poland. And no, they ended up exporting their meats all over the country.
Sorry, quick question.
Yes.
Polish people have nothing better to do than make a meat shop go viral?
It's not, not viral as in, like, social media viral. But it just, like, blew up and became popular.
But there's nothing better to do in Poland than to travel to, like, rural Poland for a meat shop.
Do you understand how much meat Polish people eat?
I do spend a lot of time with you.
Yeah. My, like, pork is a huge part of Polish culture. It's in all of our traditional foods. So it's, like, pork specifically is a huge meat attention thing.
Carry on. Back to rural Poland.
Back to rural Poland. So my, like, the village I grew up in isn't that great of an example as to what a typical village looks like. But before it became a hot spot of meats and destinations, it was very much more casual. My grandma would buy milk or cheese from the people that lived in town that were selling it because their cows made it. Like, they had more cows. And then, like I said, we had 50 rabbits. So my grandpa would take them to, it's like kind of like a farmer's market, but you also sell everything there. So it's like you could sell bicycles, you could sell used tools, you could sell new tools.
Don't answer this, but I really hope the rabbits were alive.
They were alive.
Okay.
Most of the time. Okay. I mean, some of them were sold as to sell to other people so they could have their own.
Back to point. Bikes. Yeah, you were talking about bikes.
Point is, yeah. So they were taken to this market for sale alive for the purposes of this story. And it, like, that was part of the thing. You traded basically, you know, your goods, aka rabbits, or if you have milk or cheese or whatever, eggs if you had chickens, for money or for other goods. So it depends on that. And that was a big part of the economy. And it still is, like, to this day, that every Wednesday, there's, like, a little city nearby it comes every single week, the traders and the farmers and whatever, and they sell their stuff.
That's wholesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. I like going to it. It's like, it's not as exciting as an adult because you go with a purpose. But as a kid, I was in awe. I was like, wow, so cool. But yeah, back to Górno. So the town I grew up in, it had one school and it was pre-K or not even pre-K because I went there when I was 2 or 3. So whatever is before pre-K.
Daycare?
I guess. But it's like the equivalent of daycare in Poland, but it's a part of school. Yeah. Like, we start. So the way we have school, it's like pre-pre-K, then we have pre-K, kindergarten, first, second, third, whatever.
Okay.
So I was in the pre-pre-K there. So we had one school, and it goes until middle school. And then for high school, you have to go to a different area because you're going to have to go to a different city. So, like, that city I mentioned, the small city that we have near, that's where people would go to high school. Or if they want, they could go to the bigger city, like Rzeszów, which is where I was born. So that's like that. Those are your choices there. In terms of religious centers, Poland is a very Catholic country. So we had our own church, But for example, Marco Vizna, which was, it was like 5 or 6 kilometers away from us. It had their own church, but the priest that did the mass there, it was once a week, one mass on Sunday. It was the priest that we had. He would just go there after doing our mass and then do one for them as well, because they were much smaller than us. And then we had a bar. That was like, that's not a very commonplace thing for a village to have, but we had one. Not really sure why, but it sold alcohol to minors and it got shut down recently. So yeah, that happened. And it's like, when I say minors, the legal drinking age in Poland is 18. So selling alcohol to people 16, 17, or sometimes younger. So yeah, got shut down. But they're also, they're planning on opening a restaurant, I think a pizza restaurant, either this year or they were supposed to do it last year. It's sometime soon, and it might have been opened already. I haven't been in over a year, so I'm not sure. And then when it comes to transportation, it's pretty limited. Like, most people use bikes, honestly. Like, amongst the town itself, you use bikes, or if you have a car, you can use that. People walk a lot as well, and there is a few buses that go through it, but it's only one bus stop that's very out of the way for most people. So you have to go through it. Like, it's like a, if I walk to that bus stop, it's like a 30-minute walk, maybe. If I bike to it, it's like 10, 15. So it's very limited in terms of transportation option, but that bus goes down like a straight route and it could go into different cities.
Cool.
But yeah, that's rural Poland.
Comprehensive.
Yeah.
I feel like it's really similar to rural USA in the sense that, like, you know, it's not super populated. There's like a stronger sense of community almost. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel absolutely a lot of identity around where you live and like the people that you live, but also like self-sufficiency is super important. Like, being able to take care of yourself or have something that you can offer in a trade type environment.
Absolutely.
You know, is really important, especially in rural America, where like, you might not have those big box chain stores like Target or Walmart just down the street. And it's like, you have to rely on yourself a little bit more. But I was going to say that like public transit, I feel like, is an American phenomenon really mostly in cities. Like, it's not super common to have access to that in rural USA.
It's not like rural USA is one thing. And it's even in the suburbs in the USA.
Yeah.
It's like the USA is very car reliant.
Yeah.
If you don't have a car, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm so used to public transit because I grew up in New York City with a massive train system, massive bus system. But if someone grows up in, you know, Missouri, in the middle of Missouri, some random small farm town, they don't have that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, which kind of transitions to the topic about suburban life.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the idea of you have a little bit more access when you live in a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's relatively close to a city. It's a little bit more residential in that, you know, and I can speak to this a little bit more since I grew up in the suburbs. Literally postcard suburb. You imagine a suburb and that's where I grew up. But like, I had a shopping mart like half a mile away that I could like walk to, but also I always drove. Like, cars were huge. Both of my parents had their own car. I got a car as soon as I was able to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's so helpful when I go home and I have a car.
Yeah.
Like, my mom still lives in the same house I grew up in. And so I have also witnessed my relationship to a suburb change as I've gotten older. When I was a kid, I like wanted more to do. I wanted to be in DC. I wanted to be like where the action was.
Mm-hmm.
And now as an adult, I value that kind of quiet and proximity to something exciting, but quiet. And there's also, you know, touching on the same things that you touched on, religious centers. There's a street in my town where there's like every kind of religious center you can imagine just on the street. There's like a mosque, there's a synagogue, there's like multiple denominations of Christian churches, you know, everything that you could need is close by.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the draw of a suburb to a lot of people.
Right.
Is that it's less than a city, but more than the rural kind of distant environment.
Mm-hmm. And it also, you touched on community with the rural America, but it's also, I feel, very present in the suburbs. Because it's not as present where, you know, if you're in a town, not everyone's going to know each other. But let's say in your neighborhood, Like, from what I've seen, your mom has very caring neighbors. They all kind of look out for each other. Or, you know, they all go to each other for a get-together, whatever the case might be. And it's just having those people close to each other. My parents, for example, they have friends that live in different boroughs. So they have a group of, like, this family that lives in Queens, another family that lives in Staten Island, and they're all mutual friends. And for them to get together, like, they have to travel
across. It's an expedition.
It is. It's an expedition.
That's so, a whole commitment.
It is. It's, like, minimum hour car ride just to go for a dinner.
Go to Staten Island.
So, fun fact, because, like, you mentioned earlier that your relationship with the suburbs changed, so did mine. Because when I was younger, I would beg my parents, please, can we move to Staten Island? Like, please, can we go back to Poland? Because I wanted more space. Like, I was in an apartment building, and as a kid, that sucks.
I've been in your apartment.
Yeah, you can't go outside. You can't do anything, especially when you're young enough that you can't go to a park alone. You know, no one's sending a 10-year-old to the park. Well,
New York City kids are built different.
No one's sending a 7-year-old to the park alone, where it's like, if you have a backyard or even a front yard, you can go outside, run around a little.
Bro, I was in trees as a kid.
Exactly.
Like, I have like 2 giant cherry blossom trees in my front yard.
Yeah.
And I would be like climbing them unsupervised in the creek behind my house, mm-hmm. knee deep in mud.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we've talked about this before, like in previous conversations, how different our upbringings were.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you've come home with me, you've been like, oh, I've never done X. And if you could see my face, it like my jaw drops every time. So I'm like, how have you missed out on this fundamental part of childhood?
Yeah, it's just something that I just New York City kids, or not even New York City kids overall, just don't have access to.
Yeah, but they, you know, they also benefit in other ways of like, everything that you could possibly want is literally at your fingertips.
And that's kind of like, as I grew up, I was like, let's move to that island, let's move to Poland. And then I got older and I'm like, let's not go anywhere. I really kind of like it here. It's really easy to go out with my friends. I can go to the movies, whatever. It's down the block. As I was in high school, same thing. I would start going to Manhattan more. And then in college, I could go out. All the bars in the world were accessible. It's New York City nightlife.
Yeah.
Like, it's great. But then now I'm getting older again. It's like, I don't really much care for that stuff anymore. It's like, I want more peace and quiet. I want a dog. I want space. I want to be able to barbecue, and I can't do that if I have a small apartment building.
Yeah. Even just like going back to visit your parents, like here, like sitting in the bedroom, like hearing the sirens and the loud mm-hmm. whistling noises and just the ambiance of a city is so jarring, even living 10 miles away in like what is considered like quote unquote, with air quotations, the suburb
right.
of this area.
Yeah.
You know, it's much more quiet. It's, you noticed a marked difference when you moved here.
Yeah. I was like, wow, this is weird. I haven't heard a single siren. There was some kind of accident or fire nearby the other day. And I was like, wow, those are sirens. Haven't heard those in a while. No, it was weird because in my Brooklyn apartment, I remember I would be on calls with friends and they would literally make fun of me because of how many sirens are in the background. I was next to a fire station. It was
regular. That's why there's so many sirens?
Yes. I live like 5 blocks from a fire station.
I've been wondering this for months. I have never understood why your street has so many sirens.
Yeah.
And I was just like, maybe there's just like a lot going on. Maybe it's because you live on like a pretty major avenue. So
I was
like,
yeah.
Maybe it's just because it's proximity to mm-hmm. a lot of things. No, okay, so I'm just stupid. Cool.
No.
Roger that.
So there's a fire station nearby, but there's also hospitals within the area.
Mm-hmm.
So because I live on such a busy street, they use that to get across Brooklyn.
Ah.
So one, it is the busy street, and two, it's just I am next to a fire station.
Fair point, though. Hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
How does living in XYZ area impact your access to medical care?
Oh, my God. So this is actually, I have a story about this. My grandma, she had like a stroke or something, a heart attack. She had some kind of issue. Something happened to her. She got really sick. And we needed an ambulance. And we called for the emergency number. And the closest ambulance is in Rzeszów, which is the city I was born in. And at the time when I was born, it took an hour to get there. Currently, they made a new road, so it's a lot quicker. It's like 20 to 30 minutes, depending how fast you go.
But still, if someone's in crisis.
It's like someone in crisis. Like, we were panicking. We're like, my grandma's throwing up. There was blood, like this, and that. She's going to die. And it's like, this ambulance was just not coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would have been, it's so out of touch. It's so difficult to get access to quick medicine. Like, yeah. Unless there's an ambulance in the area, which there wouldn't be.
And for, like, critical things, like even a heart attack or something where it's, like, response time needs to be immediate in order to have a shot.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of, like, where you live can have a huge difference and an impact on whether you live or die in those moments.
So what's that like in the suburbs? Like, if you know, let's say you're there, you break your leg, call an ambulance, how long is it going to take until it gets there?
I happen to know of 3 hospitals within a 10-mile radius of my home.
Okay.
But I also live very close to D.C. So, like, a lot of the universities in D.C. have hospitals mm-hmm. attached to them. NIH is, like, literally 20 minutes from me. Like, so healthcare is a big industry in D.C. But, like, my dad had pneumonia when I was a kid. And, like, it wasn't urgent enough for him to need an ambulance. But, like, getting him to the hospital took, like, 20 minutes. I needed to go to the hospital once, and my parents drove me. Mm-hmm. But it took 20 minutes. I went in an ambulance once, and it took the same amount of time because they wouldn't put the sirens on.
Right.
But, like, point being, you know, it didn't take that long. And
it's
such
a waste of an ambulance ride. You didn't even get the sirens.
I got the collar, like, the little shot collar, the neck thing to brace your neck because I whiplash. But I didn't get the sirens. I just wanted to feel cool.
Wait, I've never been in an ambulance before.
It's not
What do you mean a collar?
Like, you know, when you see, like, people that get in accidents and they put that, like, neck stabilizer collar on them?
Like the one that you put on dogs so they don't scratch themselves?
No! It braces your neck. So
oh,
like
I know what you're talking about.
No, they did not put me in the cone of shame. I was out of the cone of shame. I was just in the sea collar of embarrassment. But no. So I got the collar. They were, like, taking my blood pressure. They did, like, all the healthcare things. I wasn't injured. I promise I'm fine. But they, like, were like, we have to take you to the hospital because we're here and, like, you're a minor. So I wasn't able to, like, tell them no. And I couldn't get my mom on the phone. So anyways, back to the point. New York City, though, I feel like healthcare access in the city is a double-edged sword.
Okay.
Because, yes, there are a ton of hospitals, but traffic.
Yeah. So here's a story of SantaCon. This was the 1 year I did SantaCon. I was like, I gotta experience it at least once, see what's up. And
was it worth it?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Word of warning. Never worth
it. The lines were crazy. Couldn't get in anywhere. We ended up going to a bar that wasn't even related. But as we were walking through the streets, someone got into some kind of trouble. There was an ambulance going, but because there was so much traffic of people just walking around, cars just stockpiled up, like the roads were just so hectic because of SantaCon, us walking on the street, and we were all drunk, so us drunk walking on the street was faster than the ambulance. We passed that ambulance multiple times. Like, we just kept racing with the ambulance, but it wasn't intentional. We just were outpacing it.
Yeah.
And it's like there was nothing it could do because all the side streets were either closed or just backed up just the way this one was. And it's like Manhattan itself has a lot of hospitals, especially on the upper side, like Mount Sinai is on the upper east? One of them.
East.
Upper east, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's up, whatever, doesn't matter. It's on the upper side of Manhattan. and then I think there's
like NYU has a bunch of hospitals.
Yeah, NYU
or, like,
is all over.
Placed everywhere.
Brooklyn, I think it's easier in Brooklyn because it's not as congested.
Yeah.
Brooklyn's a lot bigger and there's a lot more roads that aren't filled with pedestrians.
Yeah.
So, like, Ocean Parkway, for example, is just, like, the only pedestrians there are people either running or biking, and they have a whole separate road for themselves.
That's fair.
Yeah, so it depends where in New York City. Manhattan, though, I would absolutely hate it if I ever got hurt in Manhattan and needed
immediate medical attention. I think about this often.
Yeah.
Like, every day I'm like, please, God, don't let anything happen to me, because I don't want to be stuck in an ambulance for an hour trying to get to a hospital. Like, in terms of healthcare, like, yes, there's a ton of places, but getting to those places is what's challenging almost.
The first responders in New York City really will make or break whether you live or not.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because you just don't have time to get to a hospital sometimes.
Absolutely.
It's just so, there's just so much. And you have so much access. Like, some of the best hospitals in the world are here.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do if you can't reach them?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to think about.
Okay. sports teams.
Okay. So
I have thoughts. Let me go. I'm first. The sports person.
Yeah, you are the sports person.
Okay. So my point here is that I feel like in rural areas, like a lot of it's in America, I can't speak about Poland, but a lot of it's college based. There's not a lot of like professional sports teams in rural areas in America,
mm-hmm.
like in the Midwest, in the South. There's not a ton of, you know, sports teams, and we'll get into why in just a second, but like college, there's always a state college.
Mm-hmm.
And so people find like that's their team. They went to that college because a lot of like rural towns kind of just stay in that same area. So either they went to that college or it's just their state school, and that's where their pride is.
Yeah.
That's why like, you know, college football is so important to like the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
March Madness, the entire country,
mm-hmm.
because everybody has a team they can get behind.
Yeah. I mean, the closest we are next to two very major NBA teams. We have the Nets and the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go anywhere more north than New York City, there's nothing there.
That's like, not true. The Celtics in Boston.
Oh, yeah. I forget Boston exists.
Boston has every sports yeah, Boston team imaginable. Does have,
okay. Ignoring Boston.
Yes.
It's like we have those are the three teams that the Northeast has yeah. pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, like think about the Patriots. They're literally called the New England Patriots.
Yeah. They cover like six states.
Because, yeah, Connecticut isn't big enough for its own team. Yeah. Like they don't. Professional sports teams are so expensive
right.
that they thrive on major metropolitan areas mm-hmm. where there's enough people to make the investment worthwhile.
Right.
Which is why like starting a sports team is such a big endeavor. Yeah. Like looking
and
at
that's why the owners of them are billionaires. Yeah. Like, look at Mark Cuban.
And looking at women's soccer, like they're opening all these new teams, but like the places that they're opening teams are the same places that every other sport
yeah.
has a location, and also for stadium purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so much easier to piggyback on a stadium that already exists. Like yeah. my least favorite sports stadium in existence is the Coliseum in Oakland. And it houses, well, it used to house the Raiders, which were an Oakland team, and the Athletics, which are a baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
How are you supposed to play baseball and football in the same stadium?
It's, I mean, look at Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden.
But they're the same shape. Baseball yeah, and football true. Do not have the same shape.
Oh, actually, so the New York, oh my God, NYCFC,
mm-hmm.
they're the MLS team for,
yeah.
they play in Yankee Stadium.
Why?
They literally take the Yankee Diamond mm. and they turn that into a soccer field.
Because there's no space in
yeah,
New
there
York.
Is no space. And it's like, that's the thing. It's like even Madison Square Garden or Barclays, they're each used for hockey. They're each used for basketball. And they're also huge concert yeah. venues.
Everything is multi-purpose.
Yeah.
Even like Citi Field, the Mets Stadium, like mm-hmm. concerts, Gov Ball.
Yeah. When I went to Gov Ball, it was at Citi Field.
Like everyone, like everything in a major metropolitan area has to have multiple purposes.
Mm-hmm.
You can never just have like one thing.
Right.
Like, you know, but in a suburb, there's more space, but there's not enough people.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to tread that delicate line. But that's why people in cities feel more pride about that city sports team. They don't, like, I don't care about, I don't even think New York University has a team for anything.
They do. They're just not that great like, to be prominent names.
Like Delaware. Okay. Delaware. I went to a college. I went to a boots on the ground, 4-year university, 18,000 undergrads.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about Delaware football. People care about Philly football. The Eagles will win against the Blue Hens any day because people care about a professional team that they have access to.
What are Blue Hens?
That's the mascot for Delaware.
Oh,
the fighting Blue Hens.
You say this as if I'm going to know the Blue
We've
Hens.
We've had a conversation
we have,
about the Blue
no,
Hens.
No, we have had the, but I was not going to remember that out of context. I was absolutely not going
to
remember
But the point
it.
Is, you know, having access to this, like, city, this major metropolis 45 minutes away is enough for people to not care about their, you know, collegiate team and focus on the professional team.
Right.
So interesting that, you know, interesting. Okay. So like getting to sports though, like transit.
I mean, it's hard for some places because like where we live right now, we live in Jersey City. Our closest sports centers are either in New York, which mm-hmm. is Madison Square Garden, or Newark Prudential, or
MetLife, which is technically the New York teams, but it's in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And there is maybe one bus line that gets you there. Maybe one. But, like, the parking lot is the most reliable way to get there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have this thing where, like, the smaller towns that have the cities, like I was talking about, might not be able to draw those crowds because they don't have ways for people without a car to get there.
Yeah. And it's also, like, even when you do take a car, the parking there is ridiculous. Like, it's,
oh my God.
You have to pay, like, when we went to the Mets game, it was, what, like, $30
per
parking?
We paid more for parking than we paid for the tickets.
Together.
Because I, like, I get cheap tickets. Like, I got, like, $5 tickets per person.
Yeah. And I paid, what, like, $30 to park the car?
Yeah. And it's, like, the $7 if you have the audacity to get on the Metro after a Mets game, you're going to be, like, a sardine in there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's packed.
It's an incubator for disease.
It is. It really is. It's packed to the brim. It's like, it's exactly the way that New York City rush hour is, but it's all people that, you know, shouldn't be there. It's like on the outskirts of Queens. Like what kind of rush hour is on the outskirts of Queens? But because, and it's the same
But there's
thing.
Only one subway line that goes into Queens. So like, it's going to be packed no matter what. So you have the regular commuters plus all of these weird baseball fans.
Mm-hmm.
But use that to talk about like transit in New York as a whole.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
rush hour, how does like transit and having access to public transit make it easier / harder to do things?
So New York sucks because it
just and the sentence there.
That's it. New York sucks. End of podcast. No, but it's one of those cities where it's so big, but all of the transit is focused on Manhattan.
Yes.
Almost every single train line goes into Manhattan. There, I think, is one, maybe two that don't. And from, I have a lot of experience. I lived in South Brooklyn. For me to get into North Brooklyn, there was no direct line that goes across Brooklyn. I had to go into Manhattan for 40 minutes and then upwards and then around into North Brooklyn in a different train for another 20, 30 minutes. It took me over an hour just to get north of where I am.
Yeah.
Because I had to go all the way around. But in Manhattan, I mean, if you're in Manhattan, it's really accessible because there's a bunch of different lines. And like I said, every single train goes through Manhattan. So on the east side, you have the three green lines, which two of them are express. One of them is local. Then you also have
the yellows.
And then one of them goes way on the east side, like upper east.
Yeah.
And then you also have like on the lower area of Manhattan, you also have part of the orange.
Upper Manhattan also becomes kind of a desert.
It does.
Right? Like public transit is only useful as long as you're close to it.
Absolutely.
Like I have an after school thing that I do. For context, I'm a teacher. I have an after school thing that I do that there's no convenient subway line to.
Yeah.
And so to get there, I have to take a bus to then walk, then to take another bus. And it's like, public transit is only as useful as it is accessible.
Exactly.
And so for the like millions of New Yorkers without a car, because we'll get to how congested the streets are, but like they're trying to provide public transit as an alternate option, but then it's not even accessible for half the people that might need to use it.
I mean, the whole reason the Second Avenue subway station, subway line, which is the Q, got changed because the Q originally went into Queens.
Yeah.
Now it got changed to go into the Upper East Side instead. And the reason for that was because it was a whole group of people that were secluded. They were all rich and they all gave a bunch of money for it to happen. Yeah. And it still took 20 years.
But like Harlem doesn't even have a line.
Oh yeah. Like the Harlem line.
The A and the E that go up to Harlem. But that's it.
And on the other side, it's the green lines, but it's also very secluded areas. Like if you want to go to Central.
There's only one. It's like one avenue that gets the subway. And if you live on either side of that avenue, you have to walk like a fair distance to get to the subway.
Mm-hmm.
So technically public transit is a quote unquote alternative, but it's not all that glitters is gold.
Yeah. I mean, there's some parts of New York that are very reliant on buses.
Yeah.
In Queens, I mean, there's the 7 that goes through Queens and there's part of the R, W and N that go into there, but it's only a very small chunk and the rest of it is very bus heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends that live around Queens, and if you either need a car or you're taking buses everywhere, it's very inconvenient, and a lot of the times the buses aren't reliable. Like with the trains, they're reliable these days, but they used to be. They would come more often, especially when
there's
the
no traffic
city,
in the tunnels. Like,
yeah, That's the thing. It's like, there's no traffic in the tunnels. With buses, you're gonna, you have pedestrians, you have people, you have bikers, you have cars, whatever.
Sorry, I'm just imagining, like, two trains, like, following each other because there's traffic in the tunnels.
No,
like,
sometimes no, they get on the intercom, like, they'll stop, like, and be like, we are experiencing, this is your dispatcher, we are experiencing train traffic.
And I'm like, what do you mean? What traffic? This is a tunnel, like, 18,000 feet underground. Yeah. I have no cell service. How can there be traffic?
You know you're in New York when people complain about there being traffic and they're so annoyed because someone, like, fell on the tracks. They're like, why did they have to fall on the tracks?
Oh, my God.
This is rush hour. Get off the tracks.
It's so funny to hear New Yorkers grumble about, like, anything. Or, like, I'll get there right after the train leaves and you hear people go, damn it.
Yeah.
And you're like, chill, dude. It's fine. It's fine. The world is not going to implode because you have to wait 8 minutes for the next B train. Like, relax.
Yeah, I mean, but that kind of brings me to other cities, like LA, for example. They have a whole train system and whatever. They do, but that's the thing. It's like no one knows about it because, like, people still drive in or they drive to the outskirts of LA and they take an Uber in because the trains are so unreliable there.
Yeah.
So, it depends on the metropolitan city. Like, when I went to San Francisco, they had trams there, which I thought were the coolest thing ever because
underground trains are the shit.
I've never seen one in the United States. Yeah, like, they're all over in Poland and all over Europe, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a very European, like, a tram is a very European thing.
Yeah, and it's like, when I saw one in San Francisco, I was like, oh my God!
That's, like, what they're famous for, like, the streetcars.
Yeah, they're really cool. Yeah. But it's like, that's a form of public transportation. I don't know how reliable they are. I was like 12.
They're more, like, touristy, like, I think at this point. Like, you don't ride them, like, New Orleans has those too, though.
Yeah.
Fun fact. The same streetcar idea. And, like, we have the light rail here, which is, like, an above-ground tram system.
Mm.
But, like, again, it doesn't run regularly on the weekends. Like, it's not super consistent. Like, I would never rely on the light rail as my primary form of transportation.
But even, like, you mentioned the weekends. Public transportation shuts down on weekends.
Oh, my God, it's insane.
Like, even in New York City, where there's so much of it, on the weekend, there's certain train lines that don't run.
The B?
It doesn't run.
Which is one of the two lines that goes into Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Doesn't run.
Like, I have two lines next to me, the B and the Q. One of them just completely stops running.
It's insane. And, like, I was trying to get into, I took the PATH, which is, like, another kind of New Jersey-specific underground transit system, our subway.
That connects to New York.
And, like, I had to go back towards my apartment from where I was located to then go into New York on a different line. And it was like, I could have just, if you were just running the trains like you should have, I would have been able to get into the city no problem.
Right.
Like, and then I had to wait like 30 minutes because they only run half the trains on the weekends.
Yeah, they do.
And so, like, for tourism, that's going to be so challenging for cities that's when people do their tourism. That's when people come into cities.
Yeah.
The weekends, because nobody is coming into New York on a random Tuesday.
No. Some people do, but only there's very far and few between. Or if, like, you don't work on a Wednesday, you have a random day off.
Or if you're taking, like, a whole week-long vacation.
Yeah, then that's different. But that's, like, a very specific case. Most people come into New York for, like, a weekend trip.
Yeah, or a weekend trip. Or if
we went to Boston for a weekend
trip. If you're a Jersey resident or, like, a Connecticut resident, you come into the city for the weekend.
Exactly.
And it's, like, how are you expected to have a flourishing tourism industry for a city that doesn't run half its transit on the weekends? Mm-hmm. And for New York, that's not a problem. Like, people will get here. They'll be fine. But, like, for a city like, you know, New Orleans even, that relies really heavily on tourism as its main industry, how are you then supposed to have people satisfied with their visit when they can't even get around?
You know what really blew my mind? Hawaii. Because when I went there, there is no public transit there.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's not a big island. We had a car with us and we were able to get around the whole island within like 2-3 hours. We did a lap around the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's like, if someone's a tourist and they don't rent a car or they don't have some kind of bus taking them everywhere, they're going to be very limited to where they can go.
Yeah. And like, that can be extremely detrimental for people who's like, a lot of cities in the United States have like either history or culture or like something special about them that tourism is a large part of their industry. Think Salem, Massachusetts, for example. Like, they're not really around anything. Like, without a car, or it's very difficult to get there.
It is.
And so, you know, that those cities might lose out on people that could be really interested to visit them without transit. as like, an option.
With Salem, that one at least has some advantage because it's close-ish to Boston. So I'm sure there's day trips from Boston that are like, day trip to Salem, let's do this. But if you look at places like Lake Placid,
yeah,
that's like, they had the Winter Olympics there. That's what it's known for. That's where the Miracle on Ice happened, whatever. But it's so out of the way. It's 6 hours north of New York City. Like, no, when I drove there, it was like, it was, oh, we would leave the house at 5 in the morning, drive there, arrive like around 11 noon, whatever. And like, we were in the area, so that's why we would go to Lake Placid, but we would never go out of our way to like, let's drive to Lake Placid for a day trip. Like 6 hours, that's so long.
Yeah, but like, transit aside, would you even like want to live in a tourist city?
Absolutely not. I mean, I live in New York City. No, but like is a city,
but like Salem like is like witchy.
Yeah, like a
everyone
tourist
there
town.
Is supposed to be like witchy, and like there's so many shops dedicated to like the occult or like crystals and like that kind of
like it's the whole
community.
Aesthetic. Yeah,
and so it's like
you I would never even a city like New Orleans, because New Orleans also has very. It has a very specific vibe attached to it. You know, the voodoo, like if you go there, you know, they say don't get a reading from a New Orleans psychic or whatever. They're going to put a spell on you or some crap like that. And it's like, that's also one of those
don't
cities
talk bad
where,
about people.
I'm not saying I'm talking bad about it. I'm just saying that's the connotation that's attached with the city. And it's like, I would never want to live there because of that.
Yeah.
It's like when the whole entire point of people come there is just to visit this and experience this and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. Like there's, I want something more.
I don't want to be seen as a commodity.
Exactly.
I don't want to be seen as just a resident of blank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be somewhere where my individual identity, like, matters.
Yeah. Like,
and
whoever lives in
where
Salem...
Where I'm from doesn't impact anything about me.
Like, whoever lives in Salem, imagine during Halloween time. Like, it's a shit show. It's an absolute shit show there. Because everyone goes there. It's packed to the brim on the streets. We should go. But that also proves the point. It's like, people like me and you are going to go for, you know, 2 days, whatever. Check it out. And it's, for us, we're going to remember. It's like, Salem, that's the witch place. That's where the trials happened. Yada, yada, yada. It's like, we're not going to think of it like, Salem, that's the place where all the residents are of Salem. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the association it has with it.
No. I went there and I was like, wow, this is fun.
Yeah.
I feel haunted.
Yeah, it's like that's the whole aesthetic of it.
Yeah,
that's
for
the
sure.
purpose of Salem.
For sure.
But yeah, it's also like there's different cities in the U.S. I mean, like Dallas is one of those cities that's very spread out.
Yeah,
and that like even though they have a transport system, so many people use cars anyway. Where it's like in New York City, if you want to use a car, it's a hassle. Like I've driven through New York a lot. I've driven through all the boroughs. And driving through Manhattan is a nightmare, especially driving through Midtown Manhattan. Like,
oh my God.
I want to pull my head off every time I have to drive through Times Square for whatever reason. It's like every time I would come to you before I moved to Jersey, I had to go through either
Chinatown.
Yeah, I had to go through either Chinatown or I had to go through like the West Side Highway by the Financial District. And both were just annoying.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah. Like, if you could live anywhere, where do you think you'd live?
So I want kind of like a middle ground between what I've had in my life. So I've had the rural small town Poland. I've had the very big city New York. I want something in the middle. I want the suburbs.
I was literally just being like, so the suburbs.
Yeah. It's a
pro suburb.
I am very much pro suburb, even though I've never lived there. It gives me the best of both worlds. It gives me what I want from each environment without having to sacrifice the things I value.
Yeah, because like suburb is not small town, it's like with proximity to stuff, you know. And that's kind of the same thing. I think it's like I grew up in a suburb with access to stuff.
Yes.
Everything I wanted was close enough but not smothering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I want when I'm old and gross. I don't want to have to travel 45 minutes to get to the grocery store.
And it's also one of those things where if you want to go to the city, you can.
Yeah.
Like, you...
It's so easy.
When we went to D.C. from where you live, it was what? Like, we
it's
went
a
to the
5-minute drive, you park at the metro stop, and then you take the
train for, like, 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, and then you get to wherever you want. And, like, most places in D.C. that are worth their salt or that are important have a metro stop attached to them, because D.C. is actually a smaller city, and so it's not as difficult to get transit to everywhere.
Yeah. And it's like the same thing with us. We're technically in Jersey City, but it's all very connected around New York City. Like, we are in the New York metro.
Yeah.
And, like, all of our buses around here are, half of them lead into New York City. Yeah. And, like, the trains here, the path, they all go into New York.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things, if we want to go into New York, if I don't want to drive, it's not that difficult.
No, it's not.
It's just annoying to, because it's time it doesn't, consuming. Yeah.
That's the trade.
It's time consuming, and it's, that's not as often, like we mentioned earlier. The transportation gets cut in half pretty much on weekends. But it's possible, and it gives you kind of the middle ground for everything.
Okay, so point is, I was right, and yes. Pro-suburb.
Yeah, I'm very much convinced of suburb, and you know, it's your own little space.
I'm going to get a shirt that says pro-suburb on it and just wear that.
You can do that. That can be you.
Okay.
I will not be participating in that.
What if I get you one?
I would participate in that.
That's love.
Yeah. No.
Anyways, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me.
Anytime. Happy to be here.
You know, I appreciate you filling in for the week. But yeah, for anyone watching, let us know. I'm not watching. Listening.
They're staring at their screen, just like watching the time bar tick on. When is this done?
Yeah. Just looking at the little purple onion. But no, yeah, for anyone listening, you know, let us know your thoughts. Let us know where you would want to live. What's your perfect environment? Where do you want to go? But other than that, thanks for tuning in. Outro music.